In the name of the one holy and triune God.
Amen.
Well, if you didn't feel pretty low on yourself after Ash Wednesday's big litany, this morning probably made you think, where have I been falling short and not quite living up to these things that God has set before us to do? It's always this unique thing, and I'm kind of thankful that we are a broad Episcopal church and that we only do the Great Litany one of the Sundays of Lent. I have friends that serve in more Anglo-Catholic parishes where they will be doing that every Sunday for the season of Lent. I often wonder, does their attendance drop from that? Because it's so out of character kind of for who we are and who we believe ourselves to be as God's people. We are not in the custom of beating ourselves up with our sinfulness and our ugliness on a daily basis. Because instead we try to really live into that identity that God has claimed of us in baptism. That we are beloved, that there is always, always redemption, and that there is goodness in the world. But what this season of Lent begins with and reminds us of is our very creation, that initial identity with which humanity was shaped. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. It's as if we could read the story from Genesis saying, remember that God formed the very first human being out of the dust of the ground. And God breathed life into that human. And from the very beginning, humanity's existence and its identity has been completely connected to the Creator. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve's identity, who they were, how they were with one another, how they were in relationship with God, was driven by that identity, by being formed out of the dust and the breath. And they understood that identity. But as the story tells us this morning, there was always a little temptation lurking, waiting in the garden. And we're told that the serpent was the craftiest of all of creation and approaches the woman, and therefore, as we all know, women get a bad rap in this story. Their thirst for knowledge, which is a thirst that I would hope we all have, is a thirst for knowledge, for understanding more and understanding God more, right? Trips her up, trips up humanity, that temptation that existed for more knowledge. And as the story goes, God could have said, well, that's it, I tried, and said, we're done. And he could have gone off and, you know, just left the world with creation and the animals and no human beings. But instead, what does God do? God is always at work to redeem the messiness that we create. And so, yes, they get pushed out of the garden and enters the things of fear and shame and misunderstanding identity. And those questions, those thoughts of fear and shame and our questions of identity have existed since the very beginning. Now, the science of psychology defines identity as those qualities and beliefs, the personality, the looks and or expressions that make up a person or a group. We talk about groups having a group identity. One of the examples I read this week from one commentator suggested that, you know, somebody doesn't just wake up one morning and decide that they are a die-hard sports fan of any given team, right? They just don't out of the blue root for Duke or UNC. If they are smart, they root for UNC. I have a little Duke hatred in my life, sorry. But they don't just wake up and decide, I'm a diehard Redskins fan, or a Ravens fan, or a Nats fan, or an O's fan, or a Yankees fan, right? Mostly all East Coast teams. I'm an East Coast girl. But we don't wake up one day and say, well, that's who I am, and you know, I'm going to go to that football game, and I'm going to paint myself head to toe in that color, and I'm going to wear the wig, and I'm going to wear the shirt, and I'm going to have the foam finger. Where does that all come from? We're kind of brought into it by our community. Maybe you were born into a family where for generations they have gone to UVA, and the only song you know how to sing is Wahoo Wah. Maybe you're born into a family from New York, and you grew up with the Yankees. And even though you're a kid living in O's land, you still root for the Yankees. We don't wake up one day and just decide what our identity is what the person was trying to get at. What this person was trying to explain is that we gather our identity in bits and pieces from the people and the communities that we belong to. Our qualities, our beliefs, our personality doesn't just come out of thin air. It's not created in a vacuum. It's not something we create on our own. Most of our sense of ourself, our identity, in fact, is created out of the community, the family of origin that we belong to. Today's gospel is a very familiar story for many of us. And we think, oh yes, Jesus was tempted by the devil, and he overcame the temptation, and, you know, we know the story. And this morning I was thinking about it, and it didn't hit me until Webster was praying the proper preface in the Eucharist. The one proper preface for the season of Lent is exactly points out what we're talking about with Jesus and this temptation today, because in this prayer it says, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin. When we read the story of the temptation of Christ, we read it in light of his understanding of who he is, his identity. His identity is that of being fully human and fully divine. His identity is washed in the waters of baptism. Just before our story today, we read that he goes to the River Jordan, he has that encounter with John, and he insists on being baptized. And as he comes up out of the water, the heavens are opened, and he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And that voice from heaven says, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is Jesus' identity, human, divine, beloved son of God. And as that person in that identity, he is led out into the wilderness. And he is tempted with all sorts of things, very human things. He is tempted with food and power and prestige. He's tempted with the very things that you and I face on a pretty regular basis. The temptations to have more, gluttonous. The temptation to have more power, more control, more money, more status. And so I think that it's really important for us to remember that our identity is also given to us in baptism. Our identity is completely connected to that understanding of being washed in the waters of baptism and sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. In that sharing of baptism, in that sharing of humanity, Jesus, tempted in every way as we are, yet did not sin, sets before us a way for us to go through this life trying to remember who we are, that we are beloved, that we are, in fact, sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't mean that we aren't going to face some difficulties. We know that Jesus has given many opportunities to claim who he is very directly, which might have seemed to make things easier. But what he teaches over and over again is that timing was everything. And through that timing, we get to that point where then we can understand the resurrection as triumphing every evil. Our identity, who we are, is something that we spend our entire lives trying to figure out. I was talking to a mom the other day, and we were talking about kids middle school age going into high school and the difficulty of learning self-identity during that season and what adolescent brain development tells us, if anybody studies it, it's fascinating, is that our brains are not fully formed until our mid-20s. So no wonder teenagers, I love you all, make really bad decisions. No wonder young folks home from spring break, college students, myself included, make really bad decisions. Our poor little brains are not fully formed. When I was a kid, folks would say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? I had no clue. I could tell you I didn't want to be a doctor. I didn't want to be a lawyer. I didn't want to be a nurse. The list of things I didn't want to do, I had no trouble telling people. But I never knew what I wanted to be until after I had taken 2 years off before college, gotten a business degree, and then the Holy Spirit I listened to. That's how life happens. Our identity has to be formed and shaped. And we have to give ourselves a little bit of grace to make mistakes. If we are too hard on ourselves, then we begin to see the original humans making their mistakes and get a little judgmental. And instead of looking and thinking, I'm going to make mistakes too. But God calls me beloved. God calls me to turn and repent and to seek God's will in my life. This season of Lent throws us a little off kilter, and we're called to these tasks of prayer and fasting and studying Scripture. Webster pointed out in the adult forum, you know, the devil's really good at using Scripture in today's gospel. What the devil does is doesn't use it the way God intended. We need to be people that are studying our scriptures so that we know it and we have studied it and we believe it and it's dwelling inside of us. That's part of the identity that we have been claimed with in baptism. That's how when we enter into the wilderness of life and we're trying to figure out who we are, whose we are, we know that at the very basic thing, we are made of dust, we are God's beloved, that we are claimed and chosen, and because of that, we're empowered to set out in search of our voice and our vocation. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. But the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is this. In him, the time had been fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. And therefore, our human lives have been invaded with the very presence of the divine. And nothing will ever be the same. We only know who we are when we realize and understand whose we are. So this season, I invite you to ponder a couple of questions. What do you understand about who God wants you to be? What are you learning about what God wants you to do? And in all things, remember, since we are the beloved children of God, what are we going to do with it? Amen.